Hey everyone, welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
Hi everybody, I'm Nat. I thought we would do something a little bit different today. And rather than jump straight into introducing you to our amazing guest today, Nicole and I, we just wanted to have a brief little chat about, I don't know, the silly season really and how we're going to get through that.
The silly season, oh my goodness, seriously. I don't know. How are you going to get through it, Nat? Do tell.
Well, you know what? I've just found really bizarre is I don't know about you, but in Australia, everybody's adapted this idea that rather December being ridiculously crazy, all of these events are spilling over into November that are actually Christmas orientated, which is actually making it worse. It's sort of like it was confined to the 3 weeks in the lead up to Christmas. It used to be very crazy. Now it's like this 6 week period and
that's outrageous. I saw that the other day. You posted a photo and you were going to your husband's Christmas party and I was like, wow, it's November. That's a little strange.
I know. I guess for us here in Australia, our weather, we've got, you know, it's we're moving into summer tomorrow.
Yeah. Don't rub it in.
And it's grey and overcast and cold. Like we have not hit summer at all.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But, in that case. You know, I am struggling a little bit, I have to admit. I probably just need to up the whole looking after myself a little bit better, I think, because our calendar is actually ridiculous.
Yeah. I feel you. I'm feeling the same way too. I'm feeling a little beat. And it's very much like that here too. We are in overdrive constantly. And I don't know if that's the same for everywhere, but New York especially. And I constantly think, okay, like what do I need to do every day to take care of myself so that I don't basically lose my mind? So I've been really focused every morning on meditating and working out for 30 minutes. Like I'm like, okay, if I don't do anything else, I've got to do those things. Otherwise, I'm useless.
Perfect. That is so good. I think also, you know, we tend to shelve our health this time of year. We sort of go, oh, I'll just deal with it. After Christmas, after New Year's, I'll get back on track again. And I think if we can, like you're doing, if we can just adopt or continue with one thing,
yes,
that's going to make a big difference. We don't need to put our health on hold. We can just sort of, you know, make sure that we're aware that things could be compromised and adapt one or adopt one thing that we can do to keep things on track.
Oh, could not agree with you more. I think that we as a society tend to go completely bananas in December and then just say, oh, we'll figure it all out in January when January 1st rolls around. But most of us are so hungover on January 1st that we don't make resolutions for another.
And then I think we get more unwell. Like I think that's when our immune system, when we actually stop and our immune system kind of does the same and then we find ourselves unwell as well. So it's, you know.
That's very true. All-encompassing. I know. Well, I feel like we could talk about this all day, so I guess maybe we should stop and get on into our episode, which is going to be so awesome. Today, we're talking about expanding access to menstrual products for all women with Deandra Kalish, and she is the founder and executive director of Untabooed, an organization committed to breaking the taboo surrounding menstruation by providing menstrual health education and sustainable menstrual products to women in need, as well as promoting conversation among people everywhere. Welcome to the show, Deandra.
Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you. This is such an important topic.
I'm very excited to be here and talk not only about how to expand access for, you know, your listeners, but for people that don't have means as well.
For sure. I know. I would love to hear from you what inspired you to start Untabooed? Because this is obviously, I feel like, a very popular subject nowadays, periods and breaking that taboo. So how did you end up being on the front lines of this?
Yeah, I just had one of those, you read an article and you just can't sleep afterwards because you can't stop thinking about this issue. I have always donated food and clothing, and I never thought to donate a menstrual product. And then, you know, that made me frustrated because I'm a person with a period. So, like, of course, the other half of the population without a period probably is thinking about it even less, right? And so I started to really look into the options that were out there for women in shelters or people living on the streets. And there really wasn't a lot out there. And I was calling around to shelters, mostly in the New York City area. And I was asking them, do you have enough pads and tampons? And they were saying, oh God, no, we desperately need those products. But I also had been using reusable menstrual products for a while. I had been using a menstrual cup. And so for me, I knew about all the benefits my cup was giving me. And I was thinking, well, instead of giving someone a tampon or a pad that's going to last a few hours, what if I could give that person a menstrual cup and that could last for, you know, 5 to 10 years?
So awesome. I love that.
I just love that. Yeah.
Yeah,
And I have to say, it's not something that I would have really think about. And I know that sounds really naive and I feel a bit silly saying it, but the thought would never have crossed my mind that these products to begin with are just not available to underprivileged people, you know, as if they don't already have enough to deal with. Then there's also the stress of menstruation that it shouldn't be. And I think it's amazing what you've been able to do in terms of being able to provide this for these women.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a similar outlook. I had absolutely no idea. I had never thought of it. And it was just this one article that said, being homeless on the street is just so much harder when you're a woman. And I said, oh, of course, you know, it sort of clicked.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that menstruation is still really a taboo subject? Like, do you feel like people don't really talk about it? And like you said, I guess half the population don't need to, but then there's the rest of us.
Just the rest of us.
Just the other rest of us.
the better rest.
Yes, obviously. We're not just the rest. Sorry, Deandra. I had to just talk up there. Yeah.
I feel like it depends on the circles that you run in. I obviously live in my weird period bubble at this point.
So do we.
You girls know, like, it's so you can talk to anyone and everyone. And I've obviously gotten over the shame of talking to anyone that I'm around at any point in time. But, you know, you do still encounter people that are either a little bit weirded out by it or just seem a little bit uncomfortable. But I would say that, you know, now that taboo has started to be, you know, torn apart, because it really is a lot more in the mainstream media. We're seeing a lot more about periods. We're having a lot more conversations about the issues of access. And so that is really helping, you know, shed light on that this is an issue, and then that has people talking about it. But the flip side is that sometimes I go and talk to people about it and they have no idea what I'm talking about. And that just proves to me that I live in my weird period bubble.
For sure. And so do you feel like that's a thing, right? People are still ashamed. I mean, because when I post things on my business Facebook page about periods and different articles I've written and things like that, I can see how many people I reach. But but very few people like it, because I'm openly talking about your period and its effect on your digestive system, for instance. I mean,
or you could post about never using algebra and you get 500 people like it.
Oh, that's really, well, that's really interesting, Nicole, because of course I follow your page and it's interesting to hear that, because of course you're not only posting about periods, but I would like to see your analytics. I'm very intrigued by that.
Yeah,
I believe it though.
I'm not surprised by it though.
Standard. Yeah, I think that's standard. We're the same. You know, we can post something that's going to actually change somebody's life, and yeah, it people don't necessarily want to know. They don't. It's quite bizarre, I guess. You know, and it's something that will resonate with you at a time that you need to hear it. And it's not to say that people aren't seeing it, but they're not actively liking it as such, right, to show a hand that, hey, that's awesome that you've just posted that.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that. But I really do think that it's specifically towards periods or menstrual health that people are I mean, I've had,
I would agree.
Yeah. And maybe you guys have had this too, but I've had women comment on some of my videos and things like that on, you know, on my website. And it, I had a Facebook plugin for comments. And I've had women write me and say, I had no idea this was a Facebook comment. Is this going to show up live somewhere that people who are friends with me on Facebook can see? And they're genuinely distressed and really worried about this. And I find it so sad because I'm like, it's a period, you guys. Like, this is not a big deal. But I understand that I also live in the weird period bubble. So, again, you know.
I will say there is, it has once again been getting better. And for me, what I find is that part of the, I mean, obviously, like, the people that follow Untaboo know what Untaboo is. And so I'm posting a bunch of period content and that's what they expect. But also, I will find that there is a difference between, for example, for me posting about like the tampon tax or a reusable product. Like, I find that now that the barrier has sort of been broken down around periods, I'm up against this new one, which is the reusables barrier, is what I find, at least. So I have, you know, in my sample group that is clearly all looking for this sort of information and are okay with talking about periods, you still have a bit of resistance to certain subjects.
It makes sense. I think that it totally makes sense that that's what you experience. I mean, I've had women say to me, so, have you used those menstrual cups? It's like this foreign thing. It's so foreign. And so I get it. I feel like it's a bit of a double whammy for you.
Yeah, it definitely can be.
What about, so with this taboo, or, you know, the perceived taboo that is still attached to periods and menstrual cycles in general, when it comes to underprivileged women and coming back to what, you know, the work that you do, do you feel like that plays a role in homeless women or women in jail not having proper access to menstrual care products?
I think it plays, yes, it does. And there are a few ways that this happens. The first is that a lot of times, definitely in jails, but also, you know, in a shelter situation, a case manager or, you know, someone on the staff will actually be responsible for the feminine products, for the menstrual products. And obviously that is a huge issue because it makes it so that the person has to, you know, go up and ask, not a stranger, but probably someone they don't feel the most comfortable with, for menstrual products, as opposed to just being able to, you know, pull one out of your bag or even go into the bathroom and get one yourself. And I think that is a big issue that's, you know, making these women feel the taboo even more, essentially. And also just the fact that you might have to ask someone for a product, you know, not in the way that you would ask a girlfriend or a sister, but, you know, really ask someone, like, I need this product. It's a desperate situation. And I can't imagine that, you know, is feels good, essentially. And I know that is an issue that definitely sort of helps keep the taboo around, because people are feeling this shame, and the shame is being perpetuated by the situation, essentially.
So these women, how are they receiving, like, once they've got a reusable product, assuming that it's a menstrual cup, how is that, you know, how are they in receiving that? Are they happy to be using, products that are reusable? What's their reaction to that?
Yeah, for the most part, they are really excited about it. You know, part of our model is that we have this 1-hour long workshop, and it covers both menstrual health education in general, because that's extremely important for every person, and then also an introduction to these reusable products. And we do work with cloth pads and menstrual cups. And what we find is that, first of all, when we go in, women are sort of like, whoa, that's weird. What is that? Because that's how most people feel when they see reusable products for the first time. But then, you know, the fact that we have the time to sit with them, and we of course have so many samples that they can really look at, and they can feel the material that these things are made out of. By the end of the workshop, we really usually see about 80% of the participants taking products to try, whether they're all pads, because a lot of people don't use internal products, or a mixture of, you know, a few pads and a menstrual cup. And then when we go back about, you know, 5-6 weeks later to do some follow-up, we find that they really like the products, and they're saying that the products are easy for them, they're easy to take care of, they love that they now own these products, and they also like knowing all of the benefits that come along with them, knowing that, you know, they are saving money and they are putting less waste into the environment and things like that. So it's been overall a very positive response.
So forgive me for being naive, but if they are given a reusable product, do they then keep that or do they have to hand that back and then be reissued? I'm sorry, that might be a no-brainer question. I don't know.
Oh, you mean in what situation?
In a jail situation. Sorry.
Oh. Yeah. No. So something that's really interesting about the prison population, we have not worked with the prison population, but what I know from other organizations who have tried is they're extremely strict, obviously, and they don't like reusable products because they have too many folds and ways that you could potentially sneak something into them, essentially.
Yeah, right.
So getting reusable products into the prison system does not seem like something that is in the near future, unfortunately.
That is so sad when you think about the fact that, because I have a good friend who is a lawyer who advocates for women in prison, and she's talked pretty extensively about this, about how prisoners have told her that they never have enough access to these products, first of all and foremost. And secondly, that when they do have to go and ask, like you were saying, they're asking someone who they do not know for these products, I think it's like the nurse practitioner or whoever is on duty. But basically they're told things like, they're told no a lot of the time, so they're denied access to it. But they're also, like the nurse practitioners mentioned, that they are trying to trick her into getting more products for whatever reason. I have no idea. But these women have reported back to my lawyer friend that they feel like they never can get access to these products. They feel so ashamed. They're so embarrassed. They have leaks. They have all these things happen. And for some reason, the medical people think that they're trying to trick them into getting more products. It seems really bizarre.
That's just, I mean, that's a lot of what I've heard, very similar things. And it's so sad and upsetting that, you know, that's the interpretation of, oh, you know what, I actually need more than the 2 or 3 pads that you're allotting me for my entire period, which is a lot of times what happens, is that the products are extremely limited, and they'll hand them out. And so,
terrible. It's really unfortunate. But anyways, you're obviously trying to make it very accessible for women who are in need. And unfortunately the prison system isn't changing anytime soon, but all we can do is keep doing what we're doing. But I think, like what we were talking about, you mentioned something actually that I thought was interesting. You said a lot of people don't use internal products. Is that have you noticed that? Is that specific to either, you know, women who are homeless or maybe who are in prison, or is that like just across the board?
I have found it as what I'm taking to be a cultural shift, essentially, which is that, first of all, whenever I see someone in their, you know, in their teens, sort of at the beginning of their period, or, you know, their early 20s, they are usually like, yeah, I've used tampons, I love tampons. But a lot of times I'll speak with, you know, women who've menstruated for years, and for whatever reason, whether it's that they grew up during the really bad toxic shock scare years, or whether they had parents that, you know, perpetuated the myth that a tampon would take your virginity essentially and would not let them use a tampon. I find that a lot of women just have never used a tampon and for that reason are not interested in a menstrual cup, and they have just like, it just totally freaks them out and they don't, they're good with their pads. And I was really interested to find that, and it's especially with the homeless and low-income population that we work with. And another thing that that has to do with, I believe, is that a lot of the population that we're working with are first or second generation immigrants. And I think it's also, you know, there's a lot of different cultural views on menstruation, of course, all over the world. And also, you know, a lot of places all over the world truly believe that tampons are not good, and are not appropriate for young girls, and are, you know, all of that. So that it has been something that we find that really the most of the women are more comfortable with just the cloth pad.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I remember, it just reminds me of from the Summer Olympics when the swimmer from Beijing mentioned that she had her period, and and that was what slowed her up and whatnot. And I did a bit of research and realized that tampons are not really used in China, barely at all. I mean, they make up less than 1% of their menstrual hygiene industry, which blew my mind.
Yeah. Oh, interesting, isn't it?
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I mean, it goes to show that we live in a period bubble.
Total period bubble.
Yeah. And speaking, you know, speaking of like all of that, I think the environmental aspect is really important for us to touch on as well, because, you know, on your site, you mentioned that an average woman would use anywhere from 12 to 16,000. It's insane. Disposable pads or tampons in her lifetime. I mean, can you speak to that at all? Because it is just...
Oh, yeah.
When you think about that.
It's, that's, you know, that's the basic range they've found from doing a few different studies. And that equates to about 150 pounds of product waste. So, you know, I'm sure if you're using applicatorless tampons, you're obviously reducing your waste, but it's still a lot of waste. And we know that these products are not great for the environment, right? Because they're sitting in our landfills. You see pictures all the time, or you'll see pictures of like the plastic applicator on the beach or something like that. And like they're clogging our septic systems, right? So obviously they're not breaking down very easily. And on top of that, of course, when you're buying things that are so packaged, they need to be consistently packaged and consistently shipped places. So that's also adding onto this environmental weight of disposable menstrual products, essentially. And one, you know, one good thing that we have seen with this movement is that we're getting a lot of brands that are really saying, we know that this system is flawed and we're going to make all organic products, and we're either going to have applicatorless products, or our products are going to use cardboard instead of plastic. So there is beginning to be a movement, at least, to make sure that, you know, disposable products aren't going away anytime soon, but to make them more sustainable. But there really is a huge difference, because a menstrual cup is made out of silicone and cloth pads are made out of cotton, and the only inorganic products on those two things are, you know, the pads like have metal snaps sewn onto them. But, you know, cotton and silicone biodegrade much faster than plastic. And so you're, even when you do eventually throw the products away, they are going to have a much shorter time before they have fully biodegraded. Even you can even compost your cloth pads since they're cotton once you take off all the inorganic materials.
You're such a hippie. I love it.
In Australia, applicators aren't that common. Like, we don't really, I think there's one brand that you can buy with an applicator, and I don't know anyone that
really.
But again, maybe I'm living in a period bubble. I only know people that use like organic tampons and pads or sanitary products across the board are very accessible in Australia. Most people opt for that I know anyway.
I think they're becoming more accessible here, but I don't know. Yeah. Denver, I don't feel like you can go to CVS or a pharmacy and get, I know I've seen Diva cups, but I haven't seen organic cotton.
Oh, you know, definitely. We have them in every, pretty much almost all chemist supermarket.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. We definitely do not have that.
No, you're right. They have Diva cup. Diva cup is pretty much in every CVS, Walgreens, major pharmacy at this point, Walmart, Target also. But the cloth pads are definitely harder to find. And one of the cloth pad brands, Luna Pads, has just started distributing in Targets across the U.S. So you can go to a Target and get Luna Pads. But other than that, I mean, I've seen cloth pads, obviously, in health food stores. I'm not sure about stores like Whole Foods. I haven't checked that out. But, you know, really smaller health food stores do sell cloth pads next to menstrual cups and next to organic pads and tampons. But it really is, you know, it's exactly what you're saying. A lot of times people just don't know about the products because they aren't even accessible unless you sort of go out to do the research or you're looking for it.
Exactly. Mm. That's it. It's the onus is on you, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do you feel, just sort of changing course, that people have responded to what you do in Untabooed? I'd be really keen to learn.
We have had a great response. As I said, sometimes I sort of feel like I'm hitting this second wall because I've broken through the period wall, but I haven't broken through the reusables wall. But we have been able to really talk to a lot of people because, you know, our work isn't limited to homeless and low-income women. We really do aim to reach anyone with a period and educate them that these products are out there, or even give them access to these products if they've heard of them but they don't know where they can find them, essentially. So once, you know, I like to say that if you're willing to sit down with me, I can convert you to a reusable menstrual product, essentially. I find that really the in-person workshops that we give are hugely beneficial to that. But overall, there's been a really good response just to both the fact that we are trying to increase access for people that don't have access and just trying to move the needle a little bit in favor of reusable products.
So let's tell our listeners how that they can get involved with what you're doing.
Definitely. So we, as I mentioned briefly, these one-hour educational workshops, they are open to anyone and everyone. And we offer them on a sliding fee scale. And that's because, obviously, we provide the resources and the products for free to women in need. But we do have a sliding scale for pretty much everyone else. So we have an ask price, but if, you know, you're a student and you're trying to organize this through a club, or you want to bring us into your workplace to, you know, run a sort of mini workshop or table for a little bit, we're flexible. As I said, our main mission is really to get the products into as many hands as possible and help as many people as possible make the switch to reusable menstrual products. So people can contact us if they're interested in workshops. And that's really the biggest way to get involved with us.
And where are they going to find you? Because we are almost out of time. So it's a good opportunity for you to let our listeners know your website and, where they can find you.
Sure. So our website is untabooed.org. That's untabooed.org. And then obviously all of the information you would need about hosting a workshop, how to contact us for that is on there. And then we are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Untabooed, spelled the same way. And then I will just give a brief plug, since it is Giving Tuesday today, that we're doing our end of the year big fundraiser, and we're doing pretty well. I think we're about 15% on our way to our goal, and our campaign is to give 300 girls and women in need access to our workshop and products in 2017. Or as we're also saying, a healthy 28 for all. So that's a 28-day cycle and 28 workshops that we would be able to offer.
Love it. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we are out of time, but thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. There's a lot of valuable information, and I think some eye-opening information that a lot of women will go away and check you out, no doubt. For those who are our regular listeners, please be sure to drop back in next week and listen to what we've got on offer. There's always more Girl Talk on Menstrual that is coming your way. If your hormones are screaming for more, also don't be shy to go back and check out our previous Period Party episodes. And of course, you're going to rate us because you're going to love what you hear, and that helps us to keep doing what we're doing. So make sure you do that on iTunes. All right, girls, that's time for us to say goodbye. So thanks again, Deandra, and bye, Nicole.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Deandra.